do from the holy letters of the Rebbe, and we're doing in volume 4, we're doing letter 1017. This is dated the 22nd day of year, Tov Shin Daf. You know, we've been learning 22nd day of year, how many letters, all different kinds of letters Rebbe sent out on this date, and as well as many other dates. And it looks to me from the pattern, again, I haven't really looked at it closely, but just it seems to me from just reading the letter that the Rebbe used to designate certain days in which he would answer all the letters, and then, you know, a couple of days without letters or whatever, and then again.
He did take the letters?
What?
He did take the letters that are
writing. He actually wrote most of them, and I'm not sure exactly, but even if he dictated exactly what to write. But
did he have a scribe, I think you said?
He did have people, you know, type it up, actually. They used typewriters in those days. And actually, my brother-in-law, whose father was one of the Rebbe's secretaries, and he worked in the office, he said the Rebbe did not allow for a computer to have these form letters. Similar, to, I guess, to what I said before. Rebbe didn't feel it was personal enough to just put something on a computer and, you know, ship it out, something like that.
Rude, but they had computers then?
Yeah, after a while they did. No, you know, I'm not talking about 1951, but we're talking about 1990 till 1994. We're talking about, you know, at the end. You know, we talk about later. No, we're not talking about the beginning. But he wouldn't, and you know, the Rebbe would go through everything and make notes and everything. So there's no question about that. But here, the Rebbe is addressing this letter on 22nd day of the year, Tav Shin Daleth, Brooklyn. To the rabbi, Chassid, the Rebbe gives him all the titles over here. Chaim Hilshich Azimov, he's been passed on already for several years, and also his son, very active in France. In France, they had, it was like the French Revolution. It was like a Jewish revolution that was really happened in the 60s, I think it was, in which hundreds and hundreds of Jewish families became returned to their roots. A lot of Jews.
After the Holocaust.
Yeah, but this was a lot of people. Because in France, you know, now we're having problems because of that. Because they also from the Arab countries, they could immigrate to France without a brother. There was a lot more opportunities than in the colonies, the former colonies of France. And what happens is that a lot of Jews with some strong, you know, foundations have sort of left Yiddishkeit. But when they came in France, a lot of the younger people, generation, turned back. And the strange thing was that they used to bring, while other Chabad houses would bring 1, 2, 3, they would come to 770 with hundreds. Each one, you know, hundreds and hundreds. You know, it would be, I remember as a student in the yeshiva, to come from France, they would come groups and groups at a time to the Rebbe. You know, these were all new form groups. So it was like on a massive scale. Matter of fact, you know that Rabbi Steinsaltz, the author of the various different things, but mostly known for his Talmud translation, the Hebrew now in English as well, he married this Azimov's daughter. So that's his, remember Eliezer was here, the Rebbe writes about him that he's a Chabadnik, so the Rebbe testifies about Steinsaltz that he's a Chabad. But in any event...
I never get that. Why would Jews move back France or Poland? I mean,
not back. What do you mean back?
They came back after the Holocaust. Like, France was the worst to the Jews. They sold to Germans. And why would someone go back to Poland?
Poland was only later. There wasn't that many Jews. More recently, people started going to Poland. I don't think it then. No, more recently.
France was terrible to the Jews.
But actually, you know, France was always, I mean, at that time of the war, but, you know, France was... more considered more liberal, they have more tolerant, they were more
modernized, westernized.
And you know, these, like, even my parents after the war actually went to France.
Really?
They went to France for a transition, because from the DP camps France accepted them. I mean, not that many accepted the Jews. You needed the visa. It was harder to get in. The French, they accepted the displaced persons.
from the displaced person camps, they would go to France, a lot of them. Again, I'm not sure exactly the history of there. Marty isn't here today. So, so the Rebbe writes them that I received your letter from the 12th day of Iyar in time. You describe the way that you're working in the Talmud Torah, that's the created for the learning for the children, and also with regards to the study with the students that you go to teach them at the homes. Those days they used to make doctor's visits, you know, like your dad used to make doctor's home visits, and the rabbis used to make home visits to teach the students instead of these kids coming to the school. The rabbis used to go to them in the school. We had it many times. The Rebbe discussing this, I saw that going to the students to their homes.
How they charge?
Well, that wasn't about money then. You know, it's now it's changed the world. Today it's about money. But the doctors didn't charge more for the home visit either.
Right, no, you're right.
Especially
right.
Like your dad, they did it more for the mitzvah for the deed.
Yeah, they never charged.
Right. So the Rebbe says,
usually poor people that were sick people couldn't get to the doctors.
Yeah. The Rebbe say would be fitting, proper, if you can send the list of students, those that are learning in the Talmud Torah, those who you learn with in their homes, together with their mother's name, so that I can read it at the resting place on the Tzion, at a time of special time, Rotze. The Rebbe says, I cannot, it's extra to explain the value of this great work that you're doing. And it's also extra to explain that the effort, as far as the increase of the number of students, there's no limit to it. You can never be satisfied with those that you have till now. So anybody who thinks or watches the video that the Rebbe says, not enough, that it started in later years, this is already right when the Rebbe became Rebbe. And the Rebbe says right away, immediately, cannot be satisfied, there's no limit to it, never be satisfied. Those that you have till now. So he also brings down from our sages, expounded the verse. It says, that in the morning sow your seed, and in the evening don't let your hand rest, which means continue working all the times and create more students. And also it's known that anybody who gives existence even to one Jewish soul, it's counted as if you created the whole world. So the value of even one extra kid is unimaginable. And so certainly,
if you save a life, it's like saving the world or something.
The Talmud says, why was man created one at a time? Because all other creatures were created, a male and a female. It was created double. But the man was created first, just man, and then Eve came from Adam. Why was he created by himself? That is to tell you that the whole world was for one person. If it would have been two, so then you say the world was created for two people. But here the world is created for only one person. Everything was created just for one person. So that means that when you give life, and in this case, giving spiritual life, giving them, bringing them close to Torah, that's like doing a whole world, and that's how important it is. And the Rebbe says,
Eve was the improved version of Adam.
Yeah.
Well, the rib, right? They took the rib from
there. There's various different. Some people say, the opinions in the Talmud is that there was actually created two figures were created and they were split in the middle. And some say that, yeah. Okay. But in any event, so he says also, certainly that you do as possible. But the Rebbe says, you know, you encourage those who are encouraged already. You know, somebody once said that the people that you want to be active are the people that are already active. You know, so somebody said, well, you're looking to me, I'm already involved in this and this and this shul and all the things, I'm ready, my time is taken up. He says, no, those are the people we want. It's the people that are doers that you want, because the people that don't do anything, it doesn't matter.
The opposite, my wife's a teacher and they have conferences. Everyone who shows up are the kids who you don't need to see. It's the kids who you need to see. They don't show up.
It's like, yeah, to the doctors, the healthy kids come.
Right.
Yeah, well, we're here. Okay, and therefore, the Rebbe says, I'm going to go write the following. And basically, the Rebbe's pushing, like almost apologizing. Why am I telling you what to do? But you're encouraged already, so I'm encouraging you further. So the Rebbe says like this, that certainly you've heard the expression of the Rebbe Maharash that when if good is good, is better not better? So in other words, if you're satisfied with good, what it is, that doesn't mean that better is not better. Good is good, but better is better. So the Rebbe can't come. It's already the time has come to figure out how to instruct the students and to teach them, and especially the students that are coming to Talmud Torah, not only the light of Torah and the lamp of mitzvah, but also the illuminary of Torah, which is the Hasidic teaching, and the conduct in the ways of Hasidus. It's self-understood to each one and one in the way that is fitting according to their stat and situation now, as also explained in the Sikha of Lag BaOmer that is attached to it. I ask to please pass along my blessing for a blessing of success in your service to all those that participate with you in these matters. May the saying of our sages of blessed memory be fulfilled. Habolatar Messiah, so one who comes to clean or to clean others, as the Rebbe said earlier, they help him to go ahead. It Litar means yourself or Litahir others. The Rebbe doesn't say it over here, but the Rebbe said it elsewhere. And we give him, and he's given powers of the Torah mitzvahs support him. The Rebbe quotes from the Likut Torah here. And everybody, the Rebbe says, anybody who adds, they also add more energy, more vitality, more light, both in your general work and also in the personal, private matters. So the Rebbe, and the Rebbe goes over here to explain. So he wrote the Rebbe a note about the Tanya in the beginning of the second perek that the Rebbe refers to. He says that the soul is mimal mamish, actually from above. So number one, that the Alter Rebbe who called Atzilus, that's the level in the Kabbalah of Atzilus, he called it Elyon. He brings down from a mimer over here. Number two, mimal. He says that is on the level of Akudim. I'm not going to go on explaining this just because it's complicated Kabbalah. And so it's understood that it's above Atzilus and it doesn't need the word Mamish. And number three, in the letter of my father-in-law, which is the year Tofer Sadeches, is going to be printed soon, he relates at length how the Tzemach Tzedek once deeply thought about these words, contemplated, reflected on them. Because mimal means higher than anything you're up, which means the highest level. And then, so what is mamash? Mamash is mamoshus, which is the sense of feeling. Seems to contradict that. And the Alter Rebbe answers, mimal is rotzui, mamash is shuv. And what it means, according to my view, is that through the shuv, you reveal in the soul the two opposites. Mamoshus, which means, mamoshus means that you are connected to those you can feel. And number two, a greater elevation than all elevations, as known, the greatness of Shuv on the Rotzui, and Ayin Gamki Tanya L'Rashak, which is in the Kupir, Shmuel Groinam, the blessing with Hatzlocha, Bavei Debris HaNechoino, and okay, so we'll leave the letter at this.